Okay, let's open our Bibles to Exodus 34. Exodus 34. And I'd like to look at kind of an introduction to a study about the attributes of God. And this is another large topic. I enjoy looking at studies around the person of Christ, such as Christ in the Old Testament. That covers a lot of territory. The person of Christ, different things concerning who he is. And yet, when you look at the attributes of God, of course, across the spectrum of the Trinity, you see these attributes. And of course, that overlaps into the study of the person of Christ as well, of course. But I ask you to turn to Exodus 34 to start with, just for kind of an example of many passages that declare to us God's attributes. When we talk about his attributes or his characteristics, they are vast. You can look on one hand at his primary attributes, such as that which is not repeated for others. He's all-knowing, all-powerful, and all-present. And then there are other essential glories or attributes that would only be spoken of concerning the Lord. But then there are moral attributes, which are attributes that, well, the Lord, of course, has those attributes in perfection, but we are exhorted to, as believers, to exhibit those attributes, such as love and mercy and long-suffering and these types of things, such as moral attributes. So when we say the attributes of God or the characteristics of God, it can kind of be divided into those two, his essential attributes as opposed to his moral attributes. But in Exodus 34, in the days of Moses, we see in verse 5, "And the Lord descended in the cloud and stood with him there and proclaimed the name of the Lord. And the Lord passed by before him and proclaimed, the Lord, God merciful and gracious, long-suffering and abundant in goodness and truth, keeping mercy for thousands, forgiving iniquity and transgression and sin." And so on with this context here, there at Mount Sinai on the two tables. And so in this, I just wanted to bring out the attributes. Here's an example of where you can see several at one time. We see that he's merciful, gracious, long-suffering, speaks of his goodness and truth, and these types of attributes. And so here we see some of the moral attributes, you know, things that we are exhorted to display as Christians. And yet we look to him and see that he is perfect in all these things, all these characteristics. And so just thinking about an overview, thinking of these things, what can be accomplished? One question. What can be accomplished by considering the characteristics and attributes of God? Well, one, it's an increase of knowledge in theology, so it should bring us to an increased appreciation and worship of the Lord. You know, the more we know about him, the more we can see how wonderful he is, more aspects of how we can meditate on him. You know, when we come and break bread and remember him on the Lord's Day morning, there's so many different aspects or angles of things that come to our mind. We're there to remember him in his death, but yet, you know, we might be focusing on things that was said at the cross. We might be thinking about doctrines of salvation that tie in what was accomplished at the cross, or we might be thinking about attributes of the Lord, things about him, you know, that ties in with what he's done. When you think of the person of Christ, for example, you overlap that with the work of Christ, who he is and what he has done, is doing and will do. And so when we think of God in an overall, the triune Godhead, you know, we think about who he is and we think about what he's doing, has done, will do. So when we come and we break bread, we think of him. That's another example of what might be going on in our minds in meditation, thinking about his attributes and in his characteristics. So thinking about these things can promote appreciation and worship of the Lord Jesus. And, you know, it should also promote in our hearts, studying his attributes and characteristics, a greater realization of our dependence on him. Therefore, our submission to him. As we see how immense this study is and how many things are said about the Lord, and then we see who we are and how frail we are, what a contrast. So the dependence upon him can be even greater once we have a little more glimpse of his attributes. So it's a huge study. We throughout the Word of God. So when we look at the Word of God and being led by the Spirit of God, we're trying to comprehend the one who is really incomprehensible, you might put it that way. We're focusing on him. Now, when we were looking at the subject recently of the riches in Christ, I think of that passage in Ephesians 2 that talks about in the ages to come, he'll show us the exceeding riches of his grace. Yeah, you think about it, it's going to go into eternity thinking about him and meditating on him and being in his presence. So when you think of the attributes of God and just how massive this is, the Lord is going to display things about him forever to us. And so we have another thought or question or two. God, how can he be perfect in both his long-sufferance and his, he's called a jealous God? This is just some things that provoke thought, not necessarily for question and answer time, but just to think. How is he both righteous and one who forgives? How is he both loving and yet the one in whom all judgment is committed to? And so you can go down the line and think about different attributes and that overlaps with the work of the Lord. And for you and me, we might have a hard time balancing these things, obviously, because we have a sin nature and because we're a mere creature. But the Almighty, eternal God, perfect in all his ways, can be perfect in these things that might be a seeming difficulty or even a contradiction in our own lives, or at least a challenge. And so when we look at the Lord knowing all things, for example, he's all-knowing, all-powerful, and all-present. When we see situations in life, and the unsaved world may take difficult things in the world and use that as a way to make an excuse and kind of cast stones toward God and question whether he's real. And how can a loving God allow this? Whereas when you back up as a Christian and say, well, Lord, I know, this is according to your will, and I know your character is you are a loving God, and yet I know you're a righteous God too. And so when things happen that we might not understand, as believers, we can back up and say, and ask ourselves and ask the Lord, what is he doing through this? Not questioning who he is or his character, but what's he doing through this? What does that mean for me? What do I need to do in response to this? Just like, the pandemic that we're seeing in 2020. It's an opportunity for believers to, kind of back up and say, am I really witnessing to people the way I should? Am I telling people that are lost on their way to the lake of fire about the Lord Jesus? Am I personally devoted to the Word of God in prayer like I should be? So, when you think about these things, I've heard others kind of bring this out, that it's really been an opportunity, to live in a situation like this. Even though we don't like the inconveniences, we don't like it when we see someone that we know or love sick or die. At our last conference and talking to Brother Keith, we were kind of comparing notes and things we've read and heard other comments along this time. And one thing I think he had read was some was talking about the time we live is really a preparatorial time. It could be seen that way. For, if persecution in a real way came to this nation, And believers really had to take a stand. You know, if we were faced like people in Daniel's day, possibility of being thrown into the den of lions or a fiery furnace or just in prison or whatever because we stand for Christ, are we prepared for that? So in a way, you know, these things are going on when people had to reevaluate, you know, how important it is for me to get to the meeting, or how important is it for me to witness to someone, or, you know, how are we as an assembly going to kind of adjust to this and make sure we can do our best to make it happen? You know, are we thinking outside of the box in that sense without going away from the Word of God? You know, we have to depend on Him, of course. But are we, you know, willing to think about the bigger picture? How important are the things to us that we say we believe? So, you know, it's kind of maybe a little bit of a rabbit trail, but when you look at the attributes of God and you look at the things that can happen to us personally and we see difficult things, instead of saying, wow, how could a loving God let that happen? Instead, we can back up and say, this is an opportunity. We know He's the God of love. We know He's righteous, and He can be balanced at all this at the same time. And He has a bigger plan and purpose. Well, with that, let's think more on the details of the attributes of God. If you would, Psalm 139. I don't want to take the time to do an exhaustive study at this time on this, but just to point out, this is one of my wife's favorite passages, and I think of it when I think about the attributes of God, because it gives a good outline about the three primary attributes of God, essential glories and such. We see in verses 1 to 6 that He is omniscient, that is, He's all-knowing. O Lord, Thou hast searched me and known me. And it goes on and reminds us of the one Jehovah that is omniscient. Then we see in verses 7 to 12, He's omnipresent, that is, all present. Verse 7, whither shall I go from Thy Spirit, or whither shall I flee from Thy presence? And it goes on describing that, verses 7 to 12. And then beginning at verse 13 through verse 16, we see He is the omnipotent one. He's the all-powerful one, such as verse 13. For Thou hast possessed my reins, Thou hast covered me in my mother's womb. I will praise Thee, for I am fearfully and wonderfully made. And He goes on giving details along how He's the all-powerful one. And this is a great chapter, something to look at in detail. A few other thoughts as we think of the attributes of God. When we consider His attributes, it can help us have right thinking concerning the things of God and God's Word. It can help us correct wrong thinking, things that are positive that it may encourage our hearts with. By thinking about His attributes, who He is, it's going to affect us in our, as we mentioned already, our worship and our appreciation of the Lord. Our daily lives, day to day, moment by moment. When we think about who He is and we face a difficulty or we face a challenge and we're wanting an answer, then if we're always sure of who He is, always sure of His attributes, and that the God of this earth will do right, then it's going to help us be able to live for Him, isn't it? Because then we can say, well, we've always got that to back up to and say, I might not be clear on something, I might not have done something right, but I know who the Lord is. So it helps us in our daily living to understand a little bit about His attributes. It can help us as well with our view of authority. We're told to pray for those in authority, that we might live a quiet, peaceful life under all godliness and honesty. We're told in different portions of Scripture about that. And so those in governmental and various areas of authority, we don't always agree with them, but we're told to pray for them and to obey them unless they tell us to do something contrary to God's Word. And so, you know, when we rest in the fact that the Lord has set ones up in authority, and that the Lord's the ultimate authority, you know, based on his attributes, we can rest in that. And it may not always be that we agree with what's going on around us or things we have to submit to, but when we know who's in control ultimately, and we know a little bit about who he is, it can help us in view of those in authority over us. It can help us in another area in our witness. We see the God of love, the God of righteousness, all of the different aspects of his mercy and his goodness and how he's forgiving and forbearing and such as this. When we look at a lost soul, someone that we may not necessarily have a lot in common with, or maybe we don't know them personally, or maybe we don't have the same love for them as we should, or as certainly that God does, we can back up and say, the God of all the universe created that person just like he created me, and he loves him and sent his son to die for him just as he did for me. And when we think about the attributes of God, you know, it can help us when we are out telling people, or when we should be telling people, about the Lord Jesus. Another area that the attributes of God can help us is in the assembly. When we look at the details of gathering principles, and it's amazing, from Acts chapter 2 at Pentecost, beginning of the church age, all the way to Revelation 3, you see so much interwoven through the bulk of the New Testament about the New Testament gathering. And so when you see the different aspects of instruction and the pattern of gathering, and you back up and say, well, you know, when you look at leadership in the local assembly, or you look at the subject of headship and glory, or you look at breaking bread and remembering him, or you look at the fact of gathering in his name alone, you look at the priesthood of every believer, you look at these things and you back up in light of who God is, and you say, well, we're obeying these things, we're attempting to follow this pattern because it brings glory on him who possesses perfection of all glories, or all attributes and the characteristics of God. So these things kind of are woven together. It's not that we're just going through a list of things to do. We're expressing how we feel and what we know and what we appreciate about the Lord when we come together in a biblical way. And, you know, there are so many other things. It helps us understand key doctrinal issues is the last one I'll mention in this section. But when we think about the person of Christ, as we mentioned before, things like the Trinity and his impeccability and his deity, these crucial things about who Christ is, well, it's all tied in really with the character of God and who he is. Going back even to him as creator. And you look at the difference between creation and evolution, the difference between a biblical worldview and a humanistic worldview. All these things go back to the character of God. And when you get into apologetics and you start saying, well, let's defend the validity of God's word and who God is, as opposed to this humanistic mindset that basically worships man, it goes back to, who is God? He is the perfect one. And because of his attributes, we see the clear distinction between truth, God is creator, as opposed to evolution and things that tie in with a humanistic worldview. So with that, that's just kind of a thumbnail sketch of some things about the attributes of God that I've been encouraged to consider. A few other things that we can learn from, ways of finding it in God's word, give you a few things there. When we look at God's dealings with man, there we see in his works some of the attributes of God coming out. Another one, we go through the Old Testament stories and see how God deals with characters. Character studies, it shows God's character and attributes. You go through the different names of God. That's a neat study, like Jehovah and Elohim and El Shaddai, and all these names of God, and that shows aspects of who he is, his character, as well as some of the titles that are given to the Lord. The great I Am's given to the Lord Jesus, prophet, priest, king, all of these aspects show us things about his character. When you look at typology, things in the Old Testament, like the tabernacle and such as this, these things can reveal things about Christ. So anyway, with this wonderful study, I'll just close by mentioning some specifics, and then we can go to prayer. When we think about his essential glories or attributes, absolute glories, we think of how he is immutable, meaning he does not change. We think of his lordship, or you might say the term sovereign. We think about how he's perfect. We think of him as glorious, unsearchable, incomprehensible, self-existent. He's immense. He's worthy. He's eternal. On and on. And then moral attributes, things that can be communicated between us as believers to other people. We see the Lord perfect in his holiness, his righteousness, his love, wisdom, grace, his faithfulness, his mercy, kindness, forgiveness, truth. He's good. He's a comforter. Him and his peace. He is a jealous God. Him as judge. Patience, forbearing, long-suffering. There's a lot of things to look at when you think of his moral attributes. And of course, many of those things we see exhorted to us to follow in our Christian lives. So with that, I pray to be an encouragement to think about who God is, and more so attributes about the Lord and who he is.